Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Cal Carson, Shane Hammond, and we got a full house here. Let's start tackling some problems, guys. Hey, Harry from Port Huron, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you with your PC?
Well, guys, I'm in a real transition right now in my computer.
Well, between winter and summer?
I'll tell you, real transition. I want to get rid of my Windows PC and go over to use my iDevice. I'm a voiceover user, so I use their screen reader, which is the greatest I've ever seen.
Okay.
But I've got a folder that I want to bring over, and it's got audio files and text files in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to the people at Apple, and they said that I would have to, that it wouldn't be able to be done, and that I have to get a Mac to do it. And I'm thinking, I got to spend the money to buy a Mac to do this thing. Is it possible to even bring a folder over to an iDevice?
When you say an iDevice, are you saying
he's like talking about either an
iOS?
iPhone or an iPad?
Oh, okay,
yeah,
okay,
I've got an iPod fifth generation.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
iPod fifth. Yeah. So you're talking about an MP3 player?
No, I've got the iPod fifth generation here.
Plays videos as well as audio, I believe.
Right.
No, are your videos MP4s?
No, they're all MP. Everything I've got is audio and video, and it's either MP3 or WMV or.
Well, you're going to have an issue with the WMVs, right? Because unless you put something like, well,
flip for Mac, right,
but that's for the Mac. It's not right. For an iOS device.
Oh, isn't it? Oh, okay.
Right.
So that sort of thing. So you'd have to convert those files before you take them into your iDevice.
Would the VLC player give him something to be able to convert those?
Perhaps, but I've had any experience with myself.
Let me offer that. We don't necessarily have this as an exact answer, but sure. V as in Victor, L as in Larry, C as in Charlie is a free media player, and I'm wondering if you can transfer files in there? In other words, would input WMVs?
There are some third-party applications that he could go out and buy that will allow him to transfer files. What it'll end up doing is that you get this third-party application, you would put iTunes on your Windows machine, which is free to download, and then this third party would convert those files for you. And I have to look this up because I may have done this once before, and I can put it out on our website. But it converts the files for you, and then through iTunes, you move them into your iOS device.
Oh, that
there
makes
you
sense.
Go. That's right. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
And the last time I used something like that, it was probably $29 or something like that. And like I said, I'll do some research and see if I can find it. And I know it allowed me to move files. I don't know if it allowed me to convert them.
Yeah. You know, and what I've used on a PC environment is I've used a program like any video converter or Super 9. I think it's just called Super. And those would allow me then to convert from WMV to AVI or MP3s or MP5s.
Right.
MP4s.
MP4s, right.
So I've converted them on the PC environment before I've actually brought them over to the Mac environment, not the iPhone.
Right. Does QuickPlayer allow that kind of...
QuickTime?
QuickTime, I mean.
QuickTime Pro probably will.
And that's not that expensive, I don't think.
It's probably about $29.
Yeah, QuickTime...
I guess what I like about the Mac, at least, is people have been telling me, if you get a Mac, Harry, then you can have all your folders like you have them now. You can, you got your text files. And I don't want to have to put files in five different apps, your text files and pages and all your files.
But to make the transition, if you're going to be moving operating systems, you're going to need to make some significant moves, and having a single application that you can feed these things into.
Well, he should be able to stand his Windows machine if he wants to. Like I said, if he uses iTunes and gets a third-party converter for it, he should be able to move things back and forth.
The good thing is then it's in iTunes, right?
Yes.
And then whenever you move your iTunes account to some other machine, whether it's a Mac or a PC, you can.
And the other reason why he wants to use iTunes is somewhere down the line, he needs to back up his iPod device. If he lost it or it got broken or stolen or something like that, he'd lose everything that he put into it.
Okay, Harry.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you very much, guys.
You're very welcome. Glad we can help you with that. Let's move on to Nadine in Toledo, Ohio. Hi, Nadine. How can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Okay. My brother sent me a speech via email on the Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O.
Yeah.
It's like YouTube. So what I want to do is I want to know if it's very difficult to download that onto a CD or, a DVD so I can play it on my television. Play it on your television. Download that onto a CD or DVR?
The first thing you need to do is download it to your personal computer, and the Vimeo allows you to download it. If the author of it allows you to download it, which it sounds like it would, there's usually a download button, and then you should have the ability to what is it? Just save file, right? Is that?
Well, you're going
to
save the file, whether it be an MP4 or AVI or whatever the file format is, and then you're just going to use a DVD burning software and burn it to a DVD.
Right. But what she could do is she would save it to her desktop as an example. From the computer, and then in Windows Vista, Windows 7, and Windows 8, if you put a DVD, a blank DVD, into your computer, you drag and drop.
Oh, yeah. Just drag it.
It'll say, are you trying to publish this file and to create a video? And you just say, I'm paraphrasing, right? And you say, yes. That's what I'm trying to do.
Does that make sense to you, Nadine?
Oh, I think because I did try to do that, and it what went on to that, the DVR was like 10 or 12 different things. And I would try to open up each one to, and I was never successful.
Well, because,
what she ended up doing, she just drugged the file components over that. Mm-hmm. What she really needs to do is have an encoding software, like maybe Toast or, what is that?
Windows Media Player allows for that as well. If you have the single video file that you've downloaded to your desktop, because like Shane and I was describing, it'll download as a single file. Then you drag it, you open up your My Computer, you stick it over in the corner there on the left hand side somewhere, and basically you drag and drop the single file that you downloaded that has your brother that you've downloaded to your desktop, and you drag it and release it onto the DVD player, and it'll say insert blank DVD. And it should be just a single file at that point.
It should be. I see that drag and drop, and I never knew how to do that because, know, when you open up this.
Well, you can always right mouse click and copy.
Yes, you can move to.
What? No, you could. Oh, move to. I didn't think of that. You can right
or
mouse
send
click.
To.
Or
I
send
think
to.
I tried to send it, the right click send to, and then the DVR or DVD or whatever.
Yeah, perfect.
I mean, the easiest would like we said is just put a DVD in the drive, a blank DVD. It'll pop up a window that says, "Hey, I see you put a DVD inside me. What do you want to do? Do you want to copy a data file? Do you want to make a video, file?"
Oh, that's even better. I like that, Shane.
And it'll kind of take you by your hand and lead you through the process.
Now, let me ask you this: How old is the TV you're trying to play this on?
Oh, Well, actually, it's kind of old. It's one of those dinosaur ones, those big ones.
Got scales on it, right?
I think I got it. I probably got it a week before the new one-inch ones came out.
Do you have any children or grandchildren that have maybe an Xbox or a PS3 hooked up to that or anything?
No, no. It's just my husband and I. We have one of those HD, we have a box on it from the cable company for, HD.
Well, I wonder if they have an HDMI cable out that they could take out from the... No.
Well, if they had a laptop, they could just,
out of a laptop.
But I'm thinking, I've got a, I play DVD, on it, so I'm thinking if I could just copy this onto that, I should be all right.
Yeah, DVDs, obviously the technology, now I can't believe we're even saying DVD technology, but, the thing is, though, whenever you're burning a DVD disc, it's so hit and miss now because every burner burns it at a certain level on the disc, and certain readers don't read it that deep. You just, like I said, just put the disc in, it'll walk you right through the process.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank
all right,
you
very,
very
good.
Much.
I hope it works well for you. By the way, folks, we're going to be taking a break in just a moment. And Jack from Monroe will be with you, as well as Dorothy and Kathy. And by the way, if you have a question, hey, there's plenty of room here. 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR, if that helps you. Get in touch with us here at Internet Advisor. That's internetadvisor.net. In our show notes, by the way, you'll find links to all the interesting things we've been talking about today. And once we publish our podcast, we'll also have the audio segments from these different areas as well for you. So please make that your new home. Now the guys are all ready to tackle our next series of questions, and Jack will be with you in just a moment. I want to take just a second to congratulate one of the sweetest young ladies I know. That's Lauren Baker, who today graduated from the University of Michigan.
Yep,
that is really wonderful.
School of Kinesiology.
Proud Papa. Where's she going to be heading, by the way?
Well, she's got two part-time jobs kind of around here. She hasn't found the full-time job yet. But so she's looking.
She is looking.
I got to ask you, Gary, what the heck is kinesiology?
It's like movement science.
Study of movement.
Study of movement.
Like earthquakes?
No, body movement.
Oh, okay.
So she teaches exercise classes is mm-hmm. one of her jobs. And then she does client appreciation. It's a client attraction work. So she does a little marketing for another company in the exercise field.
And she's been in sports sales.
She's in sports management.
Sports management as well. Yep. She went to Brazil, as a matter of fact.
And she did. She went down to last summer to talk to the groups that are putting on the World Cup this year and the Olympics next year and figure out how you do that. And
they're still trying to figure it out, by the way, from what I see in the news.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But she just, you know, I can't believe that. I get winded.
You're not that old, Gary.
I get winded taking one class. I get in the back. You know, I do it halfway. You know, by the time we're halfway through the class, I'm
I'm going to have to post.
She does like four or five a day and talks all the way through it.
Well, here, we're going to get a picture of Lauren from graduation this morning. And then, Gary, we're going to get a picture of her from that first time she was on with you when she was five years old.
I will send you both of those.
We'll get both of those and put them on the website to juxtapose them together.
Well, so now he'll have more money to buy more toys.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. People congratulated me because I'm paying less tuition. I'm not sure.
All right, let's go back out to Jack from Monroe. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how may we help you?
Well, hello, Foster, Gary, Ed.
Hey, Jack.
Hey. Boy, that fellow was hitting on what I'd called in about before he even started talking.
Which is?
I'm wondering whether I should use my iPhone or a Windows PC to check my banking and stuff.
Hmm. For security concerns.
You could use either one. It's no problem. The only caveat is if you're using your phone, don't do your banking over Wi-Fi. Use the cellular network that's more secure.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're using your computer, then you make sure you're using, you make sure your browser is up to date or all your software is up to date.
Right.
And, you know, just be cognizant of important stuff like making sure you see that little lock there on the screen whenever you go to a secure website.
Ed?
And I was going to say, iPhones and Androids, usually major banks and credit unions provide an app for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Gary, I know Chase does. I don't know anyone else. The lady I carpool with, she gets a call from her kids and said, hey, Mom, I need $30. I got to put gas in the car. And she opens up her Chase thing on her phone, or she asks me to if she's driving, and I'll just do it. And we switch money to the kids' accounts while we're driving.
Right. Now, so the issue, I don't think, Jack, the issue is so much whether one type of computer is better than another or safer than another, rather the things that Cal was talking about. All those, because you can have something that is the safest computer in the world, but if, for instance, you use it in a very insecure place, like on an open Wi-Fi network, I don't care how safe your computer is, you could be getting hacked without knowing it.
Yeah,
so,
and if you haven't, and I'm not sure if you have an iPhone or if you used to know what, or if you know what apps are, but they're basically custom applications written by a specific publisher, usually contracted by the banking company to provide an application tailored to do all the functions you need to without seeing a teller, a real person.
Right.
So they want you to use that application.
Including taking a picture of your check and depositing it. Does that help you, Jack? Does that help you?
I don't know if MB&T, I would imagine they may have an app.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I think almost every, Gary, am I right? Almost every banking system out there has some kind of.
I would imagine something.
Yes, yes.
I got a pile of laptops and PCs plugged in all over the place and everything around here. So, yeah, I run around every day or two and spend an hour patching everything up.
Securing everything, right.
If you really need to test that, you can always transfer about $10,000 to my account, and I'll make sure it gets there. Just kidding.
It's like
the kind of like the Nigerian scam. Jack, thanks so much for calling us. Take care of yourself.
Right,
bye-bye.
Thanks, Jack.
And let's go to Dorothy, who is with us in Fort Gratiot up by Port Huron. Hi, Dorothy. How are you doing? And welcome to the Internet Advisor.
just fine, and I appreciate what you guys are doing. I'm sitting at my computer, and I have a square message, like it's in, I have the Google browser up, and it says, we recommend fixing and removing registry errors. Yeah, and it doesn't even spell download right. It's got D-O-N-W-L-O-A-D.
Those guys.
How do I get rid of it?
Oh, well, unfortunately, you have what they call bloatware or malware. Installed on your computer. It's not a dangerous virus. I wouldn't call it
unless I click on it, right?
Yeah,
well,
don't click on it.
I mean, you want to stay away from it. Just I would close Windows and just shut down your machine. We'd probably want to get you cleaned up. Maybe load into what operating system are you using?
Windows 7.
Yeah, Windows 7. You're going to want to either a couple different options. You either want to load into safe mode. If you go to our, if you have a secondary computer there somewhere.
No, I don't. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. If you don't know how to get into safe mode.
Tell her how to get in safe mode.
Well, it's fairly simple. You're just going to restart your computer and keep tapping that F8 key.
The
F8? F8, yes, ma'am.
You know, the F key is along the top, that row?
Okay.
You're just going to keep tapping it about every half a second until your diagnostic mode will pop up, and it'll give you a couple options. The second one down from the top is safe mode with networking support.
Okay, just a minute. I turned it off. Now what do I do?
Well, when you don't try to do this while we're on the air right now, because it'll get you really confused. But basically, we're going to publish the podcast of this so you can listen to this again. You don't have to try to take everything down.
You can pause it and go at your leisure, at your speed.
But just turn it back on and hit F8 until it pops up.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
And a black and white screen will come up there. It looks different from what your computer normally looks like.
Correct.
And then you just scroll down to that safe mode with networking.
It's the second one down from the top.
Right.
And what that does, it gives you normally safe mode, what it does is shuts down all the extra utilities and services. So you want that internet service so you can get the updates and download something to fix that. And you're going to want to download like Malwarebytes or Super Anti-Spot, one of those programs. And you can get it from our website.
Yep. Cal?
I'm not a big Windows, knowledgeable person, but doesn't Windows 7 come with that Microsoft...
Security Essentials?
Yeah, okay.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
Oh, you do have it on. Well, then...
Because you told me to put it on there.
Yes.
Is it up to date?
Well, it updates every day.
Yeah,
All right.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what piece of bloatware or malware you have, sometimes the Security Essentials, once it's there, it's not going to clean it. That's why I always recommend at least Malwarebytes, which if you head over to our website, you can get it downloaded right there.
Gary used to call it belts and suspenders. Yeah. You want to have two pieces of aid for yourself. So you've got Microsoft Security Essentials. It's free, and Ed, we know that it's lightweight, and it works perfectly with Windows 7. Matter of fact, it was built into Windows 8 as Windows Defender.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that we do recommend you have a second piece there to take care of the malware, and that would be like Malwarebytes.
And if you go right to the InternetAdvisor.net website, right in the toolkit there, you'll see the anti-malware software there. It's free. You just download it. And then you're going to, when you install it, make sure the first thing you do is run the update. Grab the latest definitions so that you can get those downloaded. Right. And then just run a full scan.
Yeah, I did run my scan, and it doesn't show anything now.
Okay, but do you have Malwarebytes on there?
Yes, and I'm thinking what happened.
Mm-hmm.
My husband needed a manual for his rototiller, and I went to a site to download it, and it said I needed to download an installer. As soon as I did, I get this thing from Conduit.
And
I thought I went into my programs and got rid of all that stuff, but I must have missed something.
Well, it could be a you said you went into programs and features and tried to uninstall it?
Yeah, and I took off anything that was downloaded on the date that I was
Are you good? So what she's describing is that you could sort all your programs and features by date installed, and she found something on there within the last couple of days. She uninstalled them.
I found several things, and I took them off.
That's excellent. Great job.
So,
it could be her default homepage may have been changed in Google Chrome to point to a malicious website or a temporary file. So that's already on your computer. So you may want to go into the, I believe you did say it was Google Chrome, correct? You may want to go into the Google Chrome and then confirm your default website. Or you can hit the reset. Is there a reset on Google Chrome?
There is. It's just a little harder to get to than the Internet Explorer.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
buried,
right there. It's buried.
Okay, but there is a way to find out what your default homepage,
okay,
and you can clean out your temporary.
In the top, it says the same thing: labsearch.conduit, and that's the thing I got thought I got rid of.
Where is that?
I just turned Google on my computer on.
Yeah.
And went to the Google browser,
yeah.
And up in the ribbon at the top,
yeah.
lab.searchconduit.
Just,
that's
just
what I want to get
all right,
rid of.
Just quickly, Dorothy, it's part now of the extensions in Google, and you can actually get rid of that under the tool setting in Google. We'll talk with you a little bit off the line, okay? Going to put you on hold. We'll see if we can help you there, and we'll be back to help Carl and Kathy. This has been quite a program today. What a wonderful group of young people here from First Robotics with Steve Heyer and the rest of those folks. I'm just so impressed with those young people.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Gary.
Or the rest of you guys here.
Especially when you said
always
a wonderful young group.
There
we're
you go,
always
there
here.
You there you
hey,
go.
Hey,
and go ahead, Getty.
I was going to say, last month Google opened up for 2 days the Google Glass, where you could buy the Google Glass for $1,500,
yes,
right? Because
yes,
it's still in, if you want to consider pilot mm-hmm test mode and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah
that. I found an article today that a website called Teardown.com, they'll take PS3s and PS4s
yeah, right,
and Xboxes and all these different gadgets and tear them down and open them up. And
yeah,
so you can see what's on the inside, demystify what's behind
right
the curtain, right? They did a teardown of the Google Glasses and did a breakdown of all the individual components that make it up, $88.
And how much do they sell for?
$1,500. But that isn't the final cost because this realize this is still pilot mode.
Just a little bit of a markup, huh?
Just a little bit of a markup. You have to pay for, just like drug companies, you got to pay for all that research and development and all those failed projects beforehand, right?
I'm thinking you'd have to take some drugs to buy them.
Thank you, Annie Nichols, for being back with us and saving us from these guys. Rich Luzinski, thank you. Shannon Maley, our engineer as well. And KT Ken Tucker, all the folks behind the glass are making this program work. Thanks so much. Let's go to Kathy, who is with us from Macomb. Hi, Kathy. How can we help you?
Hey, hi. How are you?
Mm-hmm. Good.
I'm running that wonderful Windows Vista XP Professional.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Home Professional Premium, I guess. Sorry.
Wait, it's Windows Vista?
Windows Home Premium.
Does it have a little XP, a four-color flag down on the bottom
yeah,
of the corner?
Yeah, a little XP.
Okay.
Okay.
And I wanted to know, I have my computer set up for automatic updates. Would this patch come through?
The one that just came through for Internet Explorer?
Correct.
You know, that's a good question. I'm assuming it would. I haven't actually
yes
looked into that. You think so?
Rich Dina said yes that when we talked before.
Oh, the extended version.
They went backwards to XP, and they upgraded the Internet Explorer that works with that. I think 6. Am I right? 6 up through 11 have been updated.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I have on my my desktop, my bigger computer, as I call it, not my little notebook. I have a number that says Security Update Internet Explorer 7 for Windows Vista base system, and it's got a KB29264358.
Yeah.
And it says that it was successfully updated on sometime today.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I got one yesterday for my Windows 8 system as well. Yes.
Right.
Okay. Now, when I called and talked and waited forever to have Microsoft call me back the other night,
yes,
the support people gave me a number of a KB2964444. Now, I don't see that anywhere on here.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Go ahead.
KB, hash mark, 2964444.
Yep.
And I don't see that anywhere on here. And I'm wondering, do I have to have both of those, or is one good enough? Or?
Well, I mean, the KB, the one you're mentioning is probably referring to the Windows XP version
right
of it.
Right.
Because you said your Vista machine or your other system
right
downloaded automatically. So what Microsoft or whoever you spoke to, that knowledge base article, if you go to Bing.com, Microsoft's Bing search engine, and just type that, I just did right now, and it's basically saying that is Microsoft's security update for, I'm trying to find, seeing if it actually applies to Windows XP, and I'm not seeing it here.
It was KB6?
KB296. wait, KB2964444.
Okay, I was
and the other one
myself.
Was KB2964358.
Right, what are you getting?
You know, it doesn't really matter. All I did is I went out to Tom's guide, and I just said, did the latest IE update apply to Windows XP? And it says yes.
Yeah, that's all you need to work on.
So she should be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, in other words, you're safe. Now, you have to understand this, however, Kath. You're safe from this particular exploit, but
not
from the rest of them. Now, your
Vista
machine.
Yeah, I'm working on getting out of this and getting a whole new system.
Okay.
But
just so you understand, your Vista machine's
okay. I'm looking at my order from Hewlett Packard way back when I bought this in,
1856.
2008.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it says genuine Windows Vista Home Premium 64-bit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to make sure you know that was.
Oh, yeah. No,
too.
you bought a very nice machine at that time. A 64-bit in 2008 would have been a pretty.
So since she's running Vista, she doesn't have anything to worry about. She doesn't have to rush out and buy a new machine.
Don't.
She can take her time.
Yeah, so Catherine, so this way you understand, keep these things separate. The Vista machine is still supported. That will end eventually, but I mean, you're safe on that, and all the updates will come through. The XP machine, however, the only thing that we understand has been patched is Internet Explorer. That's the only thing. Now, there are other vulnerabilities, and if they find them and go after you, heaven help you.
Okay, so basically, I should be doing my banking on this Vista Home Premium.
Oh, yes. Yeah, don't.
And not the little netbook book.
No, not.
Oh yeah, definitely not. And I'll agree with Cal. I finally found it. Microsoft refers to this not only as KBs for knowledge base, and then the number you referenced, but Microsoft also gives MS-14, which is the year Microsoft 14, and it's patch 21. So MS-14-021. So this is the 21st patch. For the year 2014, and it does apply to Internet Explorer 6 on Windows XP.
In simple terms, you're safe, okay?
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much, folks.
You're welcome, Kath. I'm glad you asked that question because I think maybe other people out there who are kind of concerned as well.
I didn't even think of it.
Yeah,
Carl, you mentioned it.
Carl from Plymouth, how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor before we step out of here?
Okay, yes. Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for your program. I have a Dimension E510 Dell, and it's about 8 or 9 years old, something like that, and it's lightly used. But I have come up to the need for playing a DVD player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got little kids now, and they want to play their things. You know,
yeah.
And but I find out it doesn't play a DVD, and it's supposed to. And I looked up. You know, I've never tried it before, really. It's supposed to. It's an XP, and.
Yeah, and you got one in the background. Yeah, in the background.
Yeah, the pressure's on here.
They're waiting. You've got what we refer to as a Dell Gray. Basically, if it says DVD on the front of the player, it will support DVD. The problem is your filters are probably corrupted.
Filters?
The DVD.
Hold on a second.
If you go to Bing and search DVD not playing filter repair fix it, Microsoft does have a fix it file that will fix those filters for your ROM.
And the nice thing about the fix it file, Shane, am I right?
Fix it? What is that again? Fix it what?
It's fairly simple. If you open up Bing, your search engine, and type in DVD CD player not reading. Microsoft.
Yes, it says cannot read. Yeah.
Okay.
Type in Microsoft Fix It, and you'll find one of the first couple results. You'll see a Fix It for that, and it's a file that you run from Microsoft that will actually automatically do the repair for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the nice thing about it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Hope it helps you.
All right. Thanks.
And your customer base.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome.
And what are the chances he's going to be able to retain that with a kid hanging on?
Oh, man.
I hope he gets it.
I hope he gets it, or he and anybody else can download the podcast. It'll be loaded up on Friday night. Pardon me, on Sunday night, and that segment will be there. You can listen to it quietly and patiently.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show.
Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
Eddie, Daddy, can I see the princess in the pea?
And the Fix-It, by the way, the nice thing about them is it's a self-contained program, right?
It is, yeah, and it's you just hit run. It takes over for yourself and tells you to reboot and your problem's fixed.
Gary, Ed, Cal, Shane, thanks so much for being here. Yes. Annie, Rich, all the rest of the folks back there, KT and Shannon, so good to have you with us. Folks, thanks you for joining us here. And be with us next Saturday again from 4 to 6 for the Internet Advisor. Until then, safe surfing, and we will see you at InternetAdvisor.net. You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.